Let's turn again in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Just want to leave with you some words of our Saviour when he spoke to Peter in verses 31 and 32. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Amen. Let's keep our Bibles open, our finger upon that text of Scripture, a last help of God in the hearing and in the ministry of the Word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for worship today, for a sense of the divine presence. We thank thee for the singing of these hymns that have given sentiment, O God, to words that of ourselves we could never have formed. We thank thee, O God, for their scriptural content. We bless thee, our Father, for even hymns like this that we can lift as an anthem of praise and lift our voice and our hearts to thee and sing thy truth and remind ourselves of that relationship we have, that eternal security in Christ, that nothing and no one can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to know today as we read in thy word that I have a Saviour in glory and he's praying for me. And Father, we ask that we might have comfort through the word today. Speak to every soul, every heart, whether saved or unsaved, whatever their condition is, meet the need of their heart today. And Father, now for the preaching and for the hearing of thy word, we ask help from God. Remember me, thy servant. Lord, cover me beneath the blood of the Lamb. Cover my defenseless head. We pray against the devil. We pray against the imps of hell. Bind the strong man. Put the devil outside the door of this church. And God, grant thou wilt shut us in now with thyself and give to me the infilling of thy Holy Spirit with wisdom and power. And Father, in answer now to prayer, be pleased to save the lost, restore the backslider, revive thy church, and Father, glorify thy Son. For we ask these things believing in Jesus' precious and worthy name. And the people of God said, Amen. The devil has certainly left his mark upon this generation and in society and even in the church. If you take the church of our Lord Jesus Christ today, and we're not just talking about a denomination, but the entire body of believers, what we will call the visible church of Christ. There are two bodies we're thinking of. There's the invisible, and that's the body of all believers, all who are saved. And then there's the visible church, those that are gathered. Some are saved, some are not saved, and sometimes we're not able to discern exactly who is saved and who's not saved. And we know that our reformers and many who have written up our creeds have talked about the visible and the invisible church. But if we take the visible church today, and if we look across Christendom, and we think of how the devil has been working in the church, never mind in society, we think certainly that there were those who once walked well with God. And I'm sure you can look around this congregation, and you can see maybe a seat that's empty. As someone who maybe taught in the Sunday school, helped out with youth work, maybe was a children's worker, maybe never missed the prayer meetings, were attending church and they were busy doing outreach. And today, and I don't know exactly how many there would be, but I'm sure those who have been here for a long time know of individuals. And they're missing today. And the devil has seemed to have got in on them, and they've become discouraged and downcast. And before you know it, the devil has been working in their hearts and drawing them away from the Lord. How many people we meet today who say, "Well, I once went to church, I was this, I was that." Even some held office. Even some pastors and preachers today have resigned, and the devil has gotten into the church. We not only see the devil working in society, but even in the church of Christ, even among believers. Such was the case with Peter, because the devil was working among the disciples. We talk about the devil's handiwork in the earth, and that's for sure, we can see it. The devil, as some people might say, is bound today, but he's alive and well on planet earth. And the devil is very busy. And it should be the prayer of God's people to pray against the devil. I know people tell me he's a defeated foe, and we know that. And we know that Christ bruised his head at Calvary. I met one individual, and he's charismatic. Although he goes to an evangelical church, he goes to a church and he believes in the gifts of the Spirit. He believes in all of these other things. And he said to me one day, I quote, he says, "There's more power in my little finger than there is in the devil." Now, I don't know what devil he's talking about, but the Bible does not paint the picture. I'm not here to glamorize the devil, but you and I should know our enemy. We should study our enemy. We should listen to what the Scripture says of one of the greatest created beings in all of God's creation was Lucifer, son of the morning. He was the greatest of all the created angels, and he was lifted up with pride in heaven. And he tried to usurp the authority of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven." He was cast out of heaven. And the Bible tells me that a third of the created angels fell with him. Now, how many angels did God create? Did he create 20 billion? Did he create maybe 40 trillion? We don't know. But we know this, a third of those created angels fell with Lucifer. And they were cast down to the earth, and we know that from Holy Scripture. And some are now, according to the book of Jude, are held in everlasting chains in darkness. We know that some of those fallen angels, demons as they're called, devils as they're called, they're held in chains, they're chained, literally chained. And they're held in darkness. But many more of them, the majority of them, are on planet Earth. And the devil hosts and heads up that ungodly and wicked and evil host. And they're alive on planet Earth. And the devil has a blueprint. The devil studies your life and mine. He knows your weak points. He knows how vulnerable you are. Now, I'm not saying he's omniscient. He's not. Neither is he omnipresent. But he has devils and demons that are under his command structure. He has an intelligence far beyond any human mind. Did you know that? And he's a spirit being. And he goes to and fro in the earth, but he's not omnipresent. But he has devils and demons that do his bidding. And the devil's not going to waste his time on individuals who are sinners and they're running riot and they're on the road to hell. He'll leave them alone, but he will target the child of God, that's for sure. He will target a faithful church, and there are evangelical churches today, and they're the target of the devil. And there are some denominations outside of our own, and fellowships outside of our own, are being destroyed by the devil. And I have heard of fallouts in evangelical churches, massive division and massive split, and I've heard people say, "The devil's got into our fellowship, you know." And it's believers who have let him in. They've opened the door and they've let him in. And the fellowship is destroyed. It'll never be the same again. Is it not surprising that you don't hear those splits and those infighting in ecumenical churches, in apostate churches? But the devil will target, and it's no doubting whatsoever, he'll target you. He will target your home. He will target this church. He will certainly target, as he has been doing, our denomination. And he has various means at his disposal, but I'm not going to get into them. But the devil has declared war on the church of Jesus Christ on this earth. And while that is true generally, one thing we should remember, and I could labor the point, I'm not going to. I want to get to the burden of my message today. We should always keep this in mind. That the devil is a defeated foe. And that at Calvary, Christ bruised the head of the serpent. And while he bruised Christ's heel, Christ broke the power of the devil. And the believer need not fear the devil. And while he is a strong foe and he is a subtle foe, and we know it's no marvel that Satan himself is turned into an angel of light. And the devil isn't this being that has a tail and has this pitchfork and has these horns and these evil eyes. The Bible says he's an angel of light. He was the most beautiful created angel in all of God's creation, and he fell. But he has lost little of his wisdom and intelligence. But one thing he has lost his power today. And the believer has victory over the devil. And the book of the Revelation reminds us they overcame him. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So he is a defeated foe. And we have Calvary and we have the blood. We have the armor of God. We have the promises of the Lord. We have the infilling of the Spirit that we might overcome the devil. But if we don't live right, if we don't walk with God, and we don't have those regular times, and we're not walking in the Spirit, and we're not putting on the armor of God, then you and I will become prey to the devil. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. And let's say Peter's a better man than me. So what warning there is to me as an individual, that the devil got into Peter's life, and the devil nearly destroyed Peter's life when he went out that day and he wept bitterly. Only the Lord said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. I believe Peter would have committed suicide. The devil would have killed Peter. He would have taken him out of the scene. And it's very interesting that the Lord says to Peter, I have prayed for thee. It's an interesting prayer. Today, I just want to look at, in the burden of my message, not only the attacks of the devil, but the advocacy of Christ. The attacks of the devil and the advocacy of Christ. If you want a title for the sermon, you could say, for you, I am praying. I am praying for you. That's the word of God of Christ to you. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee, that he may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, restored again, strengthen the brethren. Or as the Lord said to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. These words, I believe, I am praying for you, constitute a death knell to the plans and the purposes of the devil against you as a child of God, against your home and against this church and against Christendom, and that is the visible church and the invisible church of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe his prayers will be answered. Your faith will not fail, even though you're attacked by the devil, even though you feel the onslaughts of the devil. You know, I could point you to a time in my experience, and I believe it hasn't changed, when the devil attacked my home. And I can point you to the very place and the time when the devil set his seat outside the door of the manse in Lisburn. I can tell you when I wrestled with the devil all night, and I mean that, as if he was physically in the room, although he wasn't physically, but spiritually he was there. And I had to contend with the devil, and the devil got into my home, and the devil nearly, and I mean this, he nearly destroyed everything that I had in this life, nearly taking me out of the ministry, nearly destroying my very marriage, nearly destroying my whole family. Such was the attack of the devil on that occasion. So don't think you're exempt from the attacks of the devil. I'm glad there's one in glory who prayed for me. And I stand in this pulpit today simply because I have a great exalted high priest, one who ever lives to make intercession for me. If I was to come to you today and shake you by the hand, not to give you the coronavirus or the flu or the cold, and shake you by the hand, and that hand's clean, and say to you, I'm thinking about you, I was praying for you today, it might touch your heart. You might say, why were you praying for me? Why did you think about me? I don't know, but the Lord laid me on your heart and I prayed for you. You might say, going away, that touched me. But can I say something to you? Your friends will forget to pray. They might say, I'll pray for you every day, but they might forget one day. But I'll tell you, he'll not forget. And he bears the marks of Calvary. You're engraven on the palms of his hand. Just like Israel's high priest, when he had the two stones with the 12 names of the tribes upon his shoulders, he governs your life. And he had the breastplate with all the jewels representing the tribes of Israel. He carries you on his heart. And at this present time, you say, and the devil says to you, where's the Lord now? Look at you. Where's the Lord now? Well, I'll tell you where the Lord is, will I? I'll tell you where he's always been. He's at the Father's right hand. And I'll tell you what he's doing for you. He's praying for you now. He's praying. He knows all about you. Did he not say to Peter? Peter didn't know. Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. I know it's coming. I'm going to let it happen. But I have prayed, and you will come through, Peter, and you will write 1st and 2nd Peter, and you will be an encouragement to generations to come, even though the devil may have partial success. I prayed for thee. Thy faith will not fail, and when you're restored again, you'll strengthen the brethren. And that's exactly what happened. So I want to consider them, that thought, the attack of the devil and the advocacy of Christ. I want you to think, first of all, from the text, of the person who is attacked. Look what it says there. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Simon, Simon. Why not John? Why not single out perhaps Thomas? Why not someone else among the disciples? Why Peter? Why Simon Peter? I'll tell you why. Because he was the leader. That's the simple reason. He was to the fore. If they were going to plan anything or do anything, they looked to Peter. Peter was the man that acted rationally, I know, but he was the leader of that pack. He was the leader of that group. They looked up to Peter. He was the individual that was brave. It was Peter that took the sword in the garden and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. Did you know that? Peter was the one that said to the Lord, I don't care what these will do, but all I know is what I'll do. Lord, I'll die for you. I'll go to prison for you. But he couldn't live for the Lord. And so he was singled out. You've got to attack the leader. Think of the person who is attacked here. Simon, he was a stalwart in the church. He was a leader in the church. The devil's not going to attack someone who's on the peripherals of the church. Why would he? He wouldn't waste his energy and his time attacking someone who only comes maybe twice a year to this church or to any church for that matter. Why would he single them out for attack? What good would it do if he got them off the rails and they didn't come to church on those two occasions in the year? It would have no impact in the church. But he'll single out the minister and the pastor or his wife or his children as he has done that in me. And he'll single out the elder or the man or the woman that's to the fore in children's work and youth work, because that would make the greatest impact in the church. If I could derail that man, if I could get that woman to do something, if I could tempt them, if I could attack them, if I could discourage their heart, if I could cause them to leave the church, it would impact the work and it would discourage the heart of others. And others might side with them and join with them. And I might be able to split the church and destroy the church. Do you see how the devil works? He attacks Peter, the leading light. I don't know if you're into watching films, but a lot of people enjoy westerns, the cowboy and the Indians and so on. Did you ever see some of them? And you can rewrite the script for them. You could predict exactly what's going to happen. They fight for 20 minutes on the television. You see it, you're watching it. And what do? They take out the chief, the Indian, the chief. And once he's killed, the war's over. And all the Indians stop fighting. They gather their chief up and go and bury him. And it seems to be the devil takes out the chief. He takes out those that are to the fore. He singles them out for greater attack. It's not that he'll not attack you, he will. But he will attack those who are to the fore. And there's some things we should learn here. We should learn that the devil is a real person. There's no doubting whatsoever the devil is a real person. But I think there's a greater lesson than that we should learn. And it's this. We cannot defeat the devil in our own strength. And that's borne out here. Do you know what the Lord said when Peter was attacked? He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee. Now think of it. Why did he not say Peter? Because that was the name he was changed to. He was Simon. But when he got saved, the Lord called him Peter. Cephas. He was a stone. He wasn't the rock. Christ is the rock. But he was the stone. He was changed. And the Bible tells me that his old name was Simon, but his new name was Peter. And the Lord did not speak to one who was walking in newness of life. He did not speak to one who was in touch and in fellowship with the Lord. He spoke to Peter the backslider, and he used his old name. And Peter should have discerned from that. Why did the Lord call me Simon? Did he not change my name? Did he not say from now on, you're Cephas, you're Peter? You're no longer Simon. That's your old name. That's how everybody remembered you. That's all gone now. It's in the past. You're Peter. But he didn't use that name. Now, Peter didn't even catch on that he was using the old name. Why? Because Peter was backslidden at this point. And Scripture bears that truth out. In fact, whenever the Lord was in the upper room, then he came and he took a towel in John 13 and he girded himself and he washed the disciples' feet. Peter was so full of pride, he says, not so, you'll never wash my feet. And told the Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And the Lord says, if I don't wash your feet, then you've no part in me. And then Peter himself, when he was in the garden, the Lord took Peter, James, and John a little further, didn't he? And what did he do? He took them into the inner circle and he says, watch and pray with me, just the 1 hour. And when he returned, there was Peter, James, and John and all the other disciples. And what were they doing? They were sleeping. He wasn't even praying. So when we can see he was backslidden, Simon, he was living like Simon, like his old past and his old self. He wasn't walking in the Spirit. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. He wasn't close to the Lord. In fact, he didn't even know his own heart, for he said, I'll never deny you, Lord. He didn't even know. He wasn't close enough to the Lord for the Lord to say to him, Peter, you will deny me if you don't be careful. And furthermore, he was in the flesh. How do we know that? Because the Lord said that I told you when I sent you out the first time, neither to take scrip or purse or cloak with you. But on this occasion, I want you to take purse and scrip. And if you have two garments, sell one of them and buy a sword. And one of the disciples standing by says, Lord, there are two swords here. Take one. And the Lord says, it is enough. It is enough. My kingdom will never be accomplished by the sword. And whenever they took the Lord in the garden, the three Gospels tell us that someone, one of the disciples, took the sword and cut off the ear of the high priest's servant called Malchus. It is only one of the Gospel writers that tells us who it was. And it says it was Simon. It was Simon Peter, giving him his old name first. And he acted in the flesh. And whenever the Lord was being arrested, he took the sword out. In the flesh, after the Lord says, it is enough, we don't need the sword here. And he cut the ear off the high priest, and the Lord himself reached down and lifted it and healed it and put it back into place. Peter was going to take the head off that guy. That's what he was going to do. And the Bible tells me he wasn't even watching whenever he was in the garden. And then the Lord said, not only Simon, but you notice that he repeats it, Simon, Simon. Why does the Lord repeat a name? I'll tell you why. In Scripture, you go through it, all the ones the Lord has said twice. Martha, remember whenever Martha was cumbered about much serving, she wasn't listening, and the Lord said, Martha, Martha. And Samuel, Samuel, they weren't listening. And whenever God has to speak twice, you're not listening. And Simon wasn't listening. And the Lord just didn't say, Simon, Simon. He went like this, Simon, Simon. He was getting his attention. But Peter wasn't listening. And as a result of that, he became easy prey for the devil. And what a lesson there is for us. We need to keep close to the Lord in these days. We need the whole armor of God on. We need the infilling of the Spirit and wisdom and power. We need the cleansing blood of the Lamb applied every single day to our hearts and our lives. Not only the person who was attacked, I want you to think secondly of the purpose of this attack. Look what it says there in the text, the purpose of this attack. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What was the purpose of this attack? I'll tell you what it was. It was to separate Peter from his Savior. To turn Peter against his God. Look what it says. He hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat. Now, you know I'm not a farmer and I don't know much about sifting. But having looked this up, I know that the old process would have been to place that wheat into that sieve. And they were violently shaken. There are some machines that will do that today. But they'll use the same principle. They will shake that ear of wheat. And they will separate the chaff and they will take the choice grain. But when they were sifting, they were shaking it. And there sometimes they threw it in the air and the chaff was blown away and the choice wheat fell. And they violently shook in that sieve. You can see the wooden sieve and the metal underneath. And they're shaking the life out of it. Well, that's exactly the picture here. Peter, you're going to be put into the sieve. And Satan is going to sift you as wheat. And the reason for that is, and you know what sifting means, it's to separate, to take the good grain away from the chaff, and the chaff will be burned up and the grain would be kept. It's the only method to separate it. The other would be too meticulous, trying to do it by a single hand. It's the sifting. Now they've got machinery, no doubt, to do all that in bulk. Peter understood. I know he's a fisherman, but I believe he understood the farming principle of sifting. And there's no doubt, I believe, he sifted wheat himself. And you have it here to separate Peter from Christ, to sift you as wheat. The devil wants to tear your life apart. He wants to rip everything you have in sunder. He wants to take your testimony before a wicked, sinful, evil world and just rip it up in their face. He wants to destroy you. That's his purpose. That's why it's so important, child of God, that you're not out of sorts, that you're constantly right with God, and that you're walking with the Lord. It doesn't matter what others are doing in that good sense. Number one priority is you. And the devil would love to separate you. Now, he can't do that, but he will try his best to turn you against the Lord. And you know, there are many today, and you meet them. I could literally, and I mean this, and the Lord is my witness, he's present now, and he is the truth, and he knows I'm speaking the truth. I could mention names from this pulpit right now of individuals who have fallen out with God. And the devil has sifted them as wheat. And while he can never separate them eternally from the love of God in Christ, and they will be in heaven if they're truly saved, on earth for a little time, they're in bitterness of heart. They're angry against God, and they're angry against their fellow believers, and they're angry against the church, and they're angry against their bosses and their work, and they're angry against their wife and family, and they're angry against society. Such, the devil's ripping their life apart. That's exactly what he did to Peter. He went out and wept bitterly. We don't even know what that really meant. The devil nearly destroyed this man. And yet he's a child of God. Can I say something else? It's not only to separate us from Christ, but it's also to shake Peter's faith. You know what the Lord says? Look at the text. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. The Lord revealed to Peter the object of the attack of the devil. It was his faith in the Lord. Had you ever heard any person who's a believer, and here's what they've said, you know, I've lost faith. That's what they've said. Or they say, I'm losing my faith. What do they mean by that? Theologically, you know what they mean. I'm losing my sense of trusting God. I just can't trust God anymore. Why is he allowing this to happen to me? And then he's asking me to believe. I can't do it. And they're so angry and they fall out with God. And the object of the devil's attack is your trust in the Lord. Your faith in God. And no matter what happens to your body, whatever happens to your mind, whatever's going on in your life physically or spiritually, whatever health issues you may have or may not have, I'm saying to you, the devil will use those things to shake your faith and to turn you away from the Lord. That's why we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, as Paul tells us, and be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For the devil wants to destroy us. Thirdly, very quickly, think of the permission for this attack. Look what it says. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have thee. Now that's very interesting. Satan hath desired. Do you know what that word desire means? It means to ask permission. And in the Greek, not the English, but in the Greek, when it's used in the Greek, it is to ask permission to test someone. That's exactly the meaning of the Greek word. Now, the devil cannot just attack you. He asked to ask permission. And that's borne out in the life of Job. The devil had to ask permission from God to tempt and test Job. And the devil had to ask permission from the Lord to test and tempt Peter and Simon on this occasion. Satan hath desired, he has asked. He's presented himself along with the sons of God, as they're called in the book of Job. The devils and demons, answerable to God. They come before God. God questions them. We see that in the book of Job. And he said to Satan, where have you been? What have you been doing? And here's what he says, I've just been going to and fro in the earth. You know, the devil's a liar and the father of lies. That was a lie. He told a lie in the face of Almighty God, who is the truth. He says, I've just been going to and fro in the earth. He hasn't. Then the Lord said, no, have you considered my servant Job? Oh, you're running about the earth doing this, that, and the other, and you're busy doing, but have you considered my servant Job? Of course you have. It's the only thing you've been doing. You haven't been running to and fro in the earth. You're a liar. You've been studying my servant Job. And I have a hedge around him, and you can't touch him, and you're here to ask permission from me, just to open the hedge a little bit so I can get in, and he'll curse you to your face. And God permitted the devil to touch the body of Job. And I'm telling you, God permitted the devil to tempt and test his servant Peter. But Peter would have been the better for this. Peter would have been an individual who would have most certainly got the betterment of an attack of the devil, because we know that from his epistles. In fact, whatever's happening in your life now, isn't it good to know that the Lord is in control of it? He measures the severity of it. He controls it. He controls the temperature of the heat of the attack. He knows exactly how much you're able to bear. He knows exactly what the devil can and cannot do. And the Lord has perimeters. The devil cannot pass it. Is it comforting that even though the devil's attacking me and he's attacking you, he's attacking the church, even though the devil may have gotten in certain places for all we know, is it good to know that God has permitted it and the devil's under the control of your God and mine? And whatever he's doing, the Lord has allowed it because he's using the devil. If the devil was omniscient, he would know that the end result would be the betterment of that person. He would leave you alone. He would leave you alone. I want you to think finally of the prayer before this attack. The Lord said there in the verses 31 and 2, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What a contrast. Peter failed to pray. In the garden, he fell asleep. He didn't watch with the Lord. But what a contrast. The Lord was faithful. He was praying for Peter. Even though he knew he would fail, let him down, deny him with oaths and cursings before the ungodly. Even though he knew he was living as a backslider, the Lord still loved him. And the Lord prayed for him. What a contrast. But I say, what a comfort. Because to know the Lord's in glory praying for me is the greatest comfort I could ever have. And I want you to think, lastly, of this. What a conclusion. Let Peter himself, who was attacked and failed, was restored, and once again fed the lambs and fed the sheep, let Peter have the last word here today. You know what Peter says? And remember, he's come through this. He knows what he's talking about. Here's what Peter said. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season or time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, you've been the object of the devil's attack, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Storm-tossed Christian, weary, lonely child of God, the Lord says for you, I am praying. For you, I am praying. I am praying for you. What a comfort. I trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts.